Hello, chat! Welcome to my first episode on Diving into the Deep End. I'm your host, Koi Q, and if you came here to learn more about me, you're in the right place. Diving into the Deep End has a lot to do with getting to know me and the things that I'll never talk about with anyone else, other than you, the listeners. So prepare yourself because it's going to be a wild ride filled with laughter, a little bit of cringing, and maybe some cries along the way. So this is just a fair warning that there's going to be a lot of really brutal conversations, some things may be hard to hear, and honestly, I'm going to do my best to share whatever I'm comfortable with you guys. That being said, let's start with the obvious question, who is Koi Q? For starters, I am an Asian Canadian in my 20s, and I like to draw things, make music, play video games. I am part of the League of Legends community on Twitter, and I hit Masters on League of Legends last year playing Enchanter supports. I play a lot of Bard, he's a silly little fella. Honestly, I mained him a lot in the past, but I got scared to play him outside of plat, mainly because I just didn't have confidence in playing Bard. I didn't think I was a good player in general, so it kind of held me back from being able to play Bard up until last year when my community was like, you're such a good Bard player, go play Bard, who cares what people think? So I started picking up Bard again, and now he's kind of like my OTP. I play a lot of Enchanter support, so you'll catch me playing things like Nami, Lulu, Karma. I've kind of started learning how to play more hook champs, engage champs, so things like Nautilus and Thresh, mainly because I aspire to be like Kyria, which is why some people call me Miss Kyria, or if you hear, oh, you're Kyria NA, that's where that comes from. Up until last year, I've always been really hard stuck D4, D2, and then I hit D1, and then I tried to do the impossible, which is hit Masters, and I actually did hit it, both splits. I don't know the exact year I started League of Legends. I know for a fact that I started playing League with a friend of mine. They forced me to play Ashe. I had no idea what I was doing. League wasn't really my game. I played because they asked me to, and I kind of just stopped playing, and then a couple years later, or maybe a year later, who knows, in 2013, I actually started playing League of Legends because I had a great group of friends who introduced me to the game. I will probably talk about this group of friends in another episode, but they introduced me to League of Legends. We started playing. I remember I was a jungler main in those days. I played things like Avalyn, I played Graves. Basically, I was that one friend who was hard stuck silver and everyone else was like gold plat, and they kind of made fun of me and said that I would never get past silver, and it kind of made me a little sad. Back then I had a bit of an ego, so when they said that I wouldn't make it past silver, it really hurt. And then I did the silly thing of trying to show them that I can get over silver. And it made things really rough on my friendships because I was so busy solo queuing and just trying to be better than them that I lost my quality time with my group of friends, and eventually we fell out. Most importantly to that story, the higher I started climbing, the more they started to complain that the games were getting a little too hard and somehow it was my fault, even though they didn't really directly tell me that. They'd be like, oh, these games are too hard, and maybe we should just find someone else to play with and you can focus on solo queue and whatever, and eventually they just stopped hanging out with me. From that day forward, I kind of just did my own thing. I played solo queue, I didn't really have friends, I tried to make friends, and it was not easy. I have a really hard time talking to people, which is why this podcast is so important to me, because I'm choosing and willing to share stories with people that I really don't tell anyone else. And this is me trying to be vulnerable and trying to get people to know me better and understand why I behave or do the things that I do. In 2018, I finally hit Diamond, and I was always really shaky about it. I didn't know if I could climb further. And I always knew in my heart that I wouldn't be able to make it to Masters. So last year was kind of like a do-it-all moment and just try to hit Masters. And till this day, I'm still very surprised that I did it. So I'm getting to one of the hard parts of this podcast, which is me being vulnerable with you. And this is really important to the story because it's kind of how I got to League Twitter in the first place. And I haven't really shared the story other than with much more closer friends who have comforted me and talked about it a little bit, and honestly, I'm a little nervous because I made some really great friends on here, and I know League Twitter is quick to judge, and I know League Twitter will jump on the gun and do whatever they can to, like, put people down, and I hate that. I really hate that about League Twitter, and I feel like League Twitter just has so much hate in themselves that it really doesn't make sense. Like, we're all just random people on the internet. I don't know why people can't just be, like, silly and have fun and do whatever they want, but for some reason when people do that, it's, like, not okay unless it's them doing it. And there's a lot of, like, hypocritical moments on League Twitter that I don't really agree with, which I'll probably talk about later or eventually. But I'll share how I got into League Twitter and where this chaos came from. So I've been thinking about how to really talk about this because, honestly, I'm super scared about people being disappointed in me or just looking down on me. And realistically, I don't really know how to tell this story, mostly because it's just, like, it's a little bit scattered, it's a little everywhere, and I don't know what details I do want to share and what details I don't want to share. And I know it's all about my comfort, but, like, right now, realistically, I don't know where my comfort zone is, and I don't think people who hate me would listen to this podcast. Like, who wants to hear me yap for an entire hour? So I feel like I'm safe there, but sometimes you never know, right? Like, I obviously don't want the entire world of Twitter to know all of my BS, but sometimes someone out there might be like, yeah, I want to know what kind of Japanese she's speaking, so it might happen. Anyways, so trigger warning, it does have a little bit to do with SH and abuse and unaliving, and I just wanted to give you guys a heads up, before you actually keep listening to the podcast. Unfortunately, I won't know when exactly I'm going to stop talking about it, so hopefully you can grab a comfy blanket and hold yourself together or try to find a way to skip past all of the nonsense I'm about to speak. Anyways, 6 years ago, I made a friend. She was technically my therapist. I was working at a company building. Will not name drop any of these things, but I was working at a company building. They had their own therapist on hand, and I was in a very vulnerable space. I was very depressed. I was not very happy with myself, and so oftentimes my boss or my manager would be like, hey, go talk to so-and-so. She's a great therapist. She'll help you, and it's free. So I eventually went to her office, talked to her. We kicked it really well. I know you're not supposed to be, like, friends with your therapist, but, like, we actually kicked it out, like, really well, and we started hanging out with each other. I got to know a little bit of her life and, like, what she basically does every day, and she told me about her relationship and whatnot, and at first it seemed like a lot of, like, rainbows and candy. The problem was I started to really get to know her relationship and realize that the guy she was with was super abusive, like, very, very abusive. The guy had a daughter that was roughly close to my age, not exactly, but she was close enough to not feel uncomfortable to hang out with, and the friend that I made would always be like, oh, could you just, I don't know, like, hang out with my daughter, be friends with her, whatever. Like, obviously, it's not really her daughter, but as she was in that relationship, she took it upon herself to be the mom of this girl. This sounds like it's going to get complicated, so I don't know if I should make imaginary names or whatever, but right now, she basically was always like, hey, like, I brought my daughter to work, would you like to hang out with her or whatever? And I'd be like, yeah, sure, whatever, it's fine. Mind you that both people in this story are very close to my age. She was roughly 2-3 years older than I was. I can't remember how old her daughter was. Maybe like 4 years younger than I was, maybe 5. But anyways, point being is that I was technically just like a guardian for her daughter at the time. There was a lot of moments between her and her boyfriend or ex-boyfriend, I don't even know what to call him, that he would, like, come to the workplace and, like, threaten her and tell her to come outside, and, like, it would cause so much commotion to the point, like, the police had to get involved, and it was a little crazy, honestly. Like, I never thought I'd witness something like that, but at the time, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. She tried to break up with him and he wasn't very happy about it. She also tried to, like, take care of the daughter quite often, even though she wasn't actually the mom. And I looked up to her a lot because of that. I think one thing I tend to forget is that therapists are people, and obviously they have a lot of like things going on. Like, I knew because I've witnessed the stuff that she's been going through in her relationship that things weren't exactly okay, but she was always very good at hiding that. She kept a smile on her face. She was always like ready to go help other people. She never really talked about her problems. And so I never really thought that she took it to heart. Like, I know obviously people will hurt over those things, but I just thought she was like 10 times stronger than she actually was. And I don't know, like the thought of her just not being okay kind of flew over my head. And then that summer, she kind of invited me. It was like a sleepover, just her and I. She invited me to basically hang out and watch a movie, sleep over, you know, just a fun time. And I remember very often that week, she would always be like, hey, can you just make sure that my daughter's okay? Like, hey, can you just make sure that she's doing it right, that she's eating, that she's whatever? And I thought it was just a very normal response for someone to constantly want, like, someone they care about to be taken care of. So I didn't really think much of it. And then that day that I went to go hang out with her, when she invited me to her sleepover, we had a really great time. We watched a movie, we slept on her couch. And then in the middle of the night, I woke up and she was missing, and I was so confused. I was like, maybe she just went to sleep in her room, or maybe she just went to the washroom. And I waited for a couple of minutes and I was like, maybe I should just check, like double check that she's sleeping in her room, or maybe she's in the washroom and maybe I should just double check, you know, like just to make sure for my own conscience. And I got up and I walked around the house and it was so quiet. And I remember like, it was just like very eerie. Like there was like, you know, like you don't know something's wrong, but like your gut feeling was always like, something's not right. So I went to her room. She wasn't there, but I did realize that the bathroom light was on, the door was closed, and the water was running. And it was like 3-4 in the morning. Literally, like, what a weird time to do that. But like, who am I to judge, right? And I just kind of like waited and I waited. And then I noticed that the water was actually leaking out of the bathroom, and I panicked. And I tried to get the door open, and it was really rough, but eventually when I did, I ended up seeing her in a way I wish I didn't. And she basically unalived herself there, and it was very, at the time it was really rough, like super rough, especially since I was the only one in the house. And you know, in those moments, like, let's say you're watching TV, right? And you're watching this go down and you're just like, go call the police or go do this. Like, you know it all, right? But like in that moment, even though like I knew what I had to do, it was such a panic zone for me. And my first like initial take was to like try to stop anything if I could, even though it was way too late. And I knew it. Like I knew it was way too late. And it did take me a really rough time to come back to reality. Like, yeah, I did everything that I had to do, but I feel like everything was in such a slow-mo time pace, and it was just such a, it's just something that like I didn't think I'd ever walk into, right? And like the hard reality of it is that me being like in that same state, me being so sad and so depressed, that I also wanted to do things like that. And like watching it become a reality, being the other person on the other side, it was not what I expected, right? Like, a lot of times when we think those things, are often thought is like, well, nobody will care, no one will miss me, like, maybe it'll be better for everyone. And I don't know, maybe she did think those things, maybe she didn't, maybe there was other things in her mind. But like, for me, being on the outside of that situation, I did care a lot. I did care that she did what she did. I did care that she won't come back. I did care. I cared a lot. And I felt guilty because I was the only one who should have known, right? Like, she invited me. She brought me to her house. She let me hang out with her as her last moment. And I should have known. I should have known better. Maybe I could have done something. And there's a lot of maybes and ifs and what ifs. But the thing is that it's already happened. And I felt guilty for years. I felt so guilty that, like, I held on to her daughter and I made sure that she'd be okay. I made sure that everything I could do in my power, I would help her. And honestly, it was really rough to be friends with her because there was a lot of resentment. Like, as much as she didn't want to say that to me, like, I knew there was a lot of resentment. Maybe I'm just being too hard on myself. I don't know. But it was very tense, our relationship. It was always back and forth. Like, sometimes we really liked hanging around each other. Sometimes it was like we were just bashing heads. And it was not a situation I thought I'd ever put myself in. But it was also like half of me felt really guilty and the other half of me just really wanted to help. In 2021, I thought she was doing better. And honestly, she was making online friends. She was having a great time. She found a crush. She was just actually living her best life. And I kind of, like, part of me was just like, wow, like, I waited for this moment for her to finally find happiness somewhere. I thought she was okay, really. Like, at that point, I was like, I need to start focusing on my happiness now. Like, she's happy. She's having a great time. Like, it's time for me to start doing what I need to do. And I won't lie, it was really rough. It was really hard. There's a lot of things in between those years that, like, I struggled with, of course. And maybe we'll talk about those things in another episode. But because this is catered to how I got onto League Twitter, I don't know. I just thought, like, this is my time to, like, be me, be myself. In 2021, I started to realize that she was getting really depressed. Like, her friends weren't really helping. She was acting out a lot. At the time, she was with a roommate, and the roommate would even be, like, really confused on how to, like, communicate with her and, like, how to help her out. I was also in the same position. And then one day, I get a phone call from her roommate, and she's crying on the phone. She's just, like, so devastated, and I'm like, what's wrong? What happened? And she basically took it upon herself to do exactly what her mom did. I think she had enough and she did the same thing. And I remember it was so heartbreaking. Like, I'm trying not to cry. I remember it was really heartbreaking because on the bathroom door, she literally left a note for me. And it said, well, it didn't say Koi, but it said, don't let Koi in. Don't let Koi see this, right? And like, the fact that she went out of her way to literally leave that note before doing things made me really sad. And it made me even more sad that I couldn't do anything about it, right? And a lot of the times when, like, if you have access to my private Twitter, a lot of the times there'll be moments in my life that I'm just like, frick, I'm such a bad person. Like, I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do, right? Like, it's because I feel the need to, like, punish myself since I couldn't, like, save people. I didn't have the capability to save people. I didn't know how to save people. And till this day, I don't even know how to save myself half the time. And, like, to think that it's been so long since I lost her mom, and it's taken me such a long time to get over it. And then she did exactly the same thing. I still, like, till this day, I still, like, sometimes I still have dreams about her. Sometimes I still need to talk about her. Sometimes I will literally go into a corner and just cry my eyes out because I just can't believe, like, I failed twice in a row. You know, like, I feel like I failed as a friend and as a person when I was supposed to be there. Like, the one thing her mom asked me to do was to take care of her and make sure she's okay and make sure that she'll find happiness somehow, right? And, like, I also know that, like, if a person does something like that, it's their decision, and I shouldn't, like, hold that against me. I shouldn't put that on me. But, like, it also just feels really heavy-hearted that, like, I couldn't do anything more, right? I think part of me is really resentful to my mother because at the time when her funeral was happening, I couldn't go. The funeral was literally 6 hours. Like, I had to drive or bus. It was about 6 to 8 hours, depending on which one I decided to take. And my mother was like, no, you can't go. Why would you go? Why are you going out there? You don't know anybody, blah, 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 blah. And we fought. We literally did fight, like, 3 days. And I ended up not going because of it. And I regret it. I think the reason why her life was so significant is because, one, her roommate is kind of the reason why I got into so much trouble, and how I ended up in League Twitter, kind of. And I was also dating one of her friends that she introduced me to. I really don't know where to start. You know how there's this theory that you have like three loves in your lifetime? You have like your first love, and then the one that you never forget, and then the one that you're meant to be with. And I've already had my first love, right? My first boyfriend, he was long distance. He lived in Montreal. We dated for a good like 2 years as my first relationship, which was long distance, and I thought that was crazy. And then I would have to say that this friend she introduced me to was my second one. I like to think that your second love is someone you never forget because they teach you a lot of hard lessons for you to learn so that you can become a better person for your last and final relationship, right? I'm going to call this person A just to not like make the story complicated, but A and I dated for a year. He basically told me that like he had nothing else to pay attention to. He wanted to give me all the love in the world. Like, he wanted to make sure that I was loved the right way, right? And we dated for a year until we broke up because he decided, oh, like, I don't love myself and I really need to work on that and all this stuff, right? I believed him, honestly. And he was like, even though we're not in a relationship, like, I'm going to dedicate my time to you because you're my friend. You're my best friend. You're what I call someone I talk to a lot. So, and the feeling is mutual. So we stuck together, like, hand in hand for a good total 2 years up until something happened. And I don't know if I want to like really air this out, but just to get a general idea of to what happened, he had introduced me to his best friend's ex-girlfriend because he wanted me to make more friends. What's crazy to me is that we dated for a year and we never met like IRL. Yes, he like saw pictures of me and like we took videos and whatnot, but he never actually like hung out with me IRL. And after breaking up, he said that he wanted to take me out. Like, he wanted to be friends for real. And he wanted to take me on the date that he never could take me on. And honestly, as shitty as it feels, I've never had a man take me out on a date before until he came along. Basically, the first time that we met, he came over to my aunt's place and we sat down and we watched a movie. We ate funnel cake. We had a sandwich together and I laid there on the bed and I cried to him and he like tried to like comfort me and whatever, and it was just like really sad because it's like I didn't want us to break up, you know? Like, I really enjoyed a relationship and he knew that. You know what's like kind of freaked up? It's like all of my relationships, I saw potential, but I saw potential in themselves, you know? Like, I didn't see potential in our relationship, and it's really rough because like I feel like I'm the person who wants to date to marry, right? And like, looking back on all those relationships, even in the relationship at the time, I always thought, like, this isn't gonna work, right? Like, I don't see a future with this. Like, yeah, I can see him be a great dad. I can see him be this wonderful, amazing person, but I don't see them for me. And I don't know if that's weird. I feel like it's weird, not that I'm talking about it out loud, but, like, I'm not sure if it is. And for me, A was a wonderful, amazing person. Like, he had my back all the time. He was very comforting. Whenever I would spiral or just like lose my mind, he'd spam call me over and over again to like make sure that I was okay. And like, he gave our relationship, even outside of the relationship, 110%. He always was there for me no matter what. And after we met in real life for the first time, he still wanted to take me out on that date. He was just like, you're super cute. Like, I still care about you. Like, I don't know why you're so like unconfident about yourself, blah 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 blah, right? And so he did take me out on an actual date. We went to this place, it had a crane, like a claw machine thing, and he knows I love claw machines. He knows I'm the goat at claw machines, okay? If you like think about it, again, this is my first actual date that I've been taken on by any man. He drops $100 just so that I can go and have fun and play with all the claw machines that I want, get whatever I want, right? And he basically drops the $100. He lets me sit there and play. And I remember that So in this claw machine place, like, you are allowed to trade all the smaller toys that you have for even better toys. And at the time, we had, like, 19 plushies or 18 plushies. Because I remember we were one off of the giant Munchlax. I don't know if you guys have seen the Munchlax, but he's this little, like, obviously Pokemon that I carry around whenever I go to, like, hospitals or when I go, like, really far and travel. Like, I never let this guy leave my side. Obviously, like, if I'm going to the grocery store or, like, the mall or, like, somewhere that's, like, convenient, I won't take him. But if I'm going to, like, somewhere life-threatening or something that might give me anxiety, I always take Munchlax with me. But, yeah, we played at the claw machine place. I traded it in, one for the Munchlax and, like, a couple of other toys. Before that, we even went to go get lunch, which I don't really eat. I don't know. I formed this, like, really bad habit of, like, not eating. We'll talk about that another time, but... he did take us to lunch. We shared a lunch together. He also, at the time, there's these, like, Chinese burgers. I don't know what to call them. But, like, for me, I call them Chinese burgers. Because, like, it's, like, this kind of bread. And they have, like shredded pork or, like, barbecue pork that they put into it. And it's, like, a sandwich. But, like, for some reason, I call it a Chinese burger. Because, like, it literally is one of those, like, Chinese breads that you just, like, fry and it puffs up. I don't know, am I crazy? Whatever. He bought one of those to take, like, for me to take home and for my aunt to try, which is really sweet. And that was basically my, like, my first date. That was my first date ever, and he was the one. Regardless of all that, sometime in 2022, he was again introducing me, not really introducing me, but he really wanted me to be friends with his best friend's ex-girlfriend, sorry, complicated sentence. We will call her S. So, I always thought, like, being friends with your best friend's ex was weird. I mean, like, I know some people are okay with it and some people just whatever, but to me, it was always really weird to be friends with someone, like, one of your best friend's ex, right? Obviously, like, to me, A was a really great guy. Like, he'll be friends with whoever, whenever. Like, he's just a really nice guy, right? So I didn't really, like, hold it against him. And S was also in a relationship at the time. And he was always like, I really want you to meet S. Like, I want us to all hang out, whatever. And it would make me easier. Like, it would make things easier for me to see you because she drives and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, there's a lot of, like, little things, right? And I was just like, you know what? That's right. You're right. So the first time I went to go see S, we went to watch a movie called Everything Everywhere All at Once. My bad. One of my favorite movies, by the way. When we were watching it in the movie theater, I teared up. I cried. I was in shambles. And A knew that. A knew I was going to cry. He doesn't have a crybaby. So we watched the movie. I was bawling my eyes out. I couldn't hold myself together, so I had to, like, after the movie, I had to, like, go straight to the bathroom and just, like, cry my eyes out. And after that, he's just like, are you okay? Like, will you be able to, like, hold yourself together, whatever? And I was like, yeah, I'll be fine. Because A is very familiar with my life. He's familiar with my history, with my family. He's familiar with everything. And even after everything, he still wanted to be around. What makes this so difficult, like, it makes it really hard for me to hold anything against A because, like, A knew everything, right? And to me, A was the first person that I was vulnerable with for a very long time. Like, I've never shared things with people anymore. And he was like, just give me a shot. Give me a chance. I can prove to you that not everyone's bad, right? Like, and I think that's, like, why I hold him so close to my heart, because after I told him everything, after I shared everything, after I, like, let my heart out, he stuck around and he wanted to be a part of my life. I don't know. I always felt really weary about her. Maybe I was just super jealous. I don't know. But, like, there was just this gut feeling that I didn't really enjoy having her around. We went out again to, like, a claw machine place. They were, like, matching clothes. She had broken up. Well, her boyfriend had broken up with her. And I knew she was relying on A lot after the relationship. But, like, I took it as, like, oh, they're just really good friends. Like, she just really needed a good friend to, like, be there emotionally for her, whatever. And she started hanging out with us a lot after that. And it was just really weird. Like, I stopped getting my alone time with him. I stopped, you know, we stopped hanging out together kind of because of it. It was just really weird. The last time that we hung out, It was when she drove us all the way to downtown Toronto, sort of downtown Toronto. We were trying out this place, and we were all sharing food. It was very cute. She, like, fed me, and she was just, like, you know the scene with Tomoyo? If you ever watch Cardcaptors, you know how, like, Tomoyo, like, she really, like, loves Sakura, right? And she's just, like, so in awe. Like, that's how I imagined that scene, right? Like, that's how I saw it. And A would always be like, oh, you two are so cute. Like, look at you guys, right? anyway, after that day, our last stop was Starbucks. And I remember I really wanted her to try the Sailor Moon drink, which is just, it's literally just the pink drink, because it was like the strawberry coconut with the cold foam. And I've always called it the Sailor Moon drink because on TikTok, that's what they called it. But I ordered it. She gave A her bag and went to the washroom. And I was just like talking to A, whatever, minding my own business. And then our drink comes and she's also on her way, right? So I go to the counter, my back's turned to them, I pick up the drinks, I turn around, and I quickly notice, like, I quickly got a glance of them holding hands, and everything just came, like, crashing down. Like, I saw it with my own eyes, you know? And I know it's such a stupid thing to be, like, upset about, and, like, A and I aren't in a relationship, but before that day, I had been arguing with A, because, like, I didn't care, you know? Like, I didn't care that you decided to want to be in a relationship with S, or if you caught feelings for S. My problem was every time I asked him about it, he would lie, and he would be like, I could never catch feelings for S. That's my best friend's ex-girlfriend. I couldn't hurt my best friend like that. I couldn't catch feelings for her like that. And it's just like, in my head, you're building this idea that, like, oh yeah, you're right. Like, I'm the bad person. Why would I think that you would date your best friend's ex-girlfriend? Like, what is wrong with me, right? He used to be like, oh yeah, I could never hurt my friends, I love my friends, blah, 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 blah. And it just, like, the entire time of me fighting him over S, I was always, like, beating myself up over it, because it's like, why am I fighting you about this when we're not in a relationship? Too, like, you've already told me over and over again that you don't like her, that you won't like her, that you won't catch feelings for her, right? And it was just really weird, because that day I caught them holding hands, and I know he knew, because even after that, even though she dropped me off at home, I wanted the truth, right? That was like the one and only time I really expected the truth. And I asked him, and he was all like, I think you're seeing things. She gave me her bag, I gave her her bag back, right? And then I asked her, and she also was like, why would I be holding hands with him, right? And I'm like, again, I'm gaslighting myself, because it's like, maybe they weren't holding hands. Maybe I was being a little delulu. Maybe I don't know. Like, I was just seeing things. At the same time, I had moved back home for one reason or another, and I was going through things that my friend who passed away, her roommate, was the only person who can really help me, because one, she drives, two, she was closer in the area, and my family wouldn't help, so I had to rely on her. So me and this roommate, we started getting closer, and she wanted to kind of get to know my friends, and she wanted to be a part of my life, right? And why would I say no to that? So I basically invited her to meet A and S, and the first thing she tells me is, S has a crush on A. They're both playing you behind your back. Like, I know you're sitting here and you're thinking that, oh, maybe A might come back, or like there's nothing going on between them two, but there is. There's something going on. And I got pissed at her. I was so mad, and I was like, why would you say that? Like, they're both my friends. They wouldn't do that to me. Like, they both told me that there's nothing going on. Like, why would you have these assumptions? Like, I was so mad at this roommate, right? And she was so pissed at me too, because she's like, I'm just trying to help you. Like, you're getting mad at the wrong person. If you don't want my help, don't talk to me, right? She even, I think, I don't know, I'm not sure about this part, but I think she, like, lashed out on them too about it, because they were both lying to me behind my back. And sometime in August, A finally had enough, because, like, I also wanted to know. Like, at this point, it's like, you're hanging out with her all the time, you're talking to her day and night, you're completely avoiding me, you stop talking to me, like, you barely reply to me anymore, and, like, I always see you with her, like, you're telling me that, oh, she just wants coaching, or she just needs help with homework, or she just, like, you're starting to hang out with her so much, like, I just need to know the truth, right? And, like, it came down to, like, us fighting all the time, to the point that he's just like, enough, like, I don't want anything to do with you, and he blocked me. And I never thought that A would do that. I never thought that it would come down to the point that A would end up blocking me. And I was so heartbroken. I was so heartbroken because at the time, A was all I had, like I said before. Like, he was literally all I had. And I remember crying to S about it, and S was just like, oh, don't worry. Like, he'll come around. Like, he's just mad, right? Like, don't worry about it, whatever, right? And I was like, bro, like, how could he just, like, I get if I'm wrong. Like, I get if I'm making assumptions about him that's not true, right? Like, I get that he's hurt because I don't believe him. But, like, just part of me just doesn't believe that he's telling me the truth. And she's all like, it's okay. Like, everything's okay. Like, I'm here for you, pretty much. It was rough. I was so depressed. Like, I know it seems silly because it's like I'm depressed over a boy, right? But, like, I was more so depressed that I just literally caused everything to, like, be over in a heartbeat because I didn't know how to control my emotions. And it was just like, there were so many things. It was just like, I keep failing my friends. I keep becoming a failure. I keep becoming a disappointment. Like, who am I going to talk to now? I don't really have friends anymore. I don't really have a family to talk to. Like, what am I supposed to do? And, like, all these thoughts came rushing to my head. And I remember S was just like, hey, come hang out with me, like, one last time. Let's give it one last try. Like, she knew I was just, like, super depressed, and she knew that, like, I wanted to end things. She was always like, you got this. Like, you'll be okay, right? And I believed in S because of it. I believed in S. I believed in our friendship. I wanted to be friends with her so bad because I didn't really have any female friends. And I think that was, like, also a main factor to me wanting to be friends with her. But I remember I was supposed to go see her, and then I missed the bus, and she made the effort to come see me, and she basically brought, like, paint stuff over. We painted pictures together. We went to go have dinner, and she gave me these two letters, and I sat there, and I talked about A a lot, and I cried, and she gave me these two letters, and it was like, my heart kind of sank, because I was like, why does it feel like you're saying goodbye to me right now? Like, why does it feel like I came here thinking that you wanted to be friends and that we would hang out together and whatnot? And then instead, it just feels like you're trying to say goodbye to me. And she's like, don't worry about it. Just open the letters before or like after I leave. Don't worry. The two letters was, one was read after I leave, and the other one was read when you're finally okay, right? And I read the first letter, obviously, after she was gone, in my room, and I cried because it definitely was a goodbye, right? Like, I knew she was going to have a hard time choosing, especially since A was much closer to her than I was. She'd have a hard time choosing between friends, and she didn't want to choose. I didn't want to make her, but obviously she would choose A. And it just hurt because I was alone. At that point, I was alone. I didn't really have anyone. I lost my friendship with the roommate because she felt like I wasn't taking her side, and she felt like I did her wrong because I was defending two people who definitely didn't have my back in the end. I lost my friend who got upset because I couldn't emotionally hold it together, and I lost S because she was closer friends with A, and I just didn't have anyone else I talked to. And I remember, like, I left with the intention of never coming back. I don't really want to get into full detail about that. I really didn't think I'd come back. I really didn't think I would ever come back. But I remember I got this message from this person that I met because of A. And they're just asking me if I was okay, if I'd be okay. They haven't heard from me in a while, so they just wanted to make sure. And I remember crying because that was the first time that I've had people even care about me in such a sense that they were worried if I was going to be alive the next day. And at the time, I was in the hospital for a few days. They had asked me a couple of questions. They were wondering if I was okay. They were asking me what I was doing outside. There's just so many questions. And every single day I spent in the hospital, this person spent with me. They screen shared their games. They, like, talked and invite me to their friend group, and over time, I thought that, you know what, I'll be okay. Like, I may have lost one of the biggest people in my life, but I'll learn from it. And then I found out from this person that I started being friends with that both A and S have been doing things behind my back. They've been sleeping together, like, hanging out together, all this stuff. behind my back, and they've been lying to me the entire time. And I found that out because of this person. And honestly, I'm so upset, because it's like either of them just had to tell me the truth. Either of them just had to say, hey, like, Koi, like, we really like each other. Instead of just telling me, like, this lie about, like, oh, I could never hurt my friends, or, like, oh, we're not doing anything together. Like, if I was important to you, right? If I was one of your good friends, like, I'd expect you guys to just own up and be like, hey, like, we want to be in a relationship. Hey, like, we want to be together. And, like, who am I to be like, F no, like, you guys can't be together, right? Like, obviously, I'll be sad, because, like, I do obviously care about A a lot, but, like, I'm not the type of person to be like, forget it. Like, I don't want to, whatever, right? And they just have to be honest. And I, till this day, and it's like, till this day, like, I would really have loved to be friends with S. I would really have loved to be in her life. And I'm mad that she let a boy get in between that. I'm mad that she allowed that to happen, because, like, there was a chance that we could have been really, really good friends. And all of that went out the window because she decided that she wanted to choose a boy over a friendship, when she could have just saved both, when either of them could have just saved both. Anyways, the roommate that I had fought with, she came back because she felt really bad that she couldn't save me from doing something silly. And I felt bad because ever since we lost that mutual friend, she hasn't been really able to make friends. Like, basically, she's kept her mind on literally work the entire time. And I felt bad. But she came to me and she apologized and she really wanted to be friends. And I was like, you know what? Like, I have this really great community. I feel like you really love, and like, you probably get along with people if you just tried. And basically, I gave her a secret art account that I had on Twitter, and I let her have access. I let her basically have fun, you know, because I had someone who helped me in the past and I just wanted to pay it forward. She had fun making emails, she had fun drawing, she had fun doing all these things. And one day she posted a picture on the account, and I knew instantly, because her and I both seen each other IRL, I knew instantly it was not her. And I was kind of in a stump. Like, I didn't know what to do. Like, how do I just sit here and be like, do I tell everyone that she's doing this? Do I tell people it's not her? Like, what do I say? Like, am I supposed to say anything? And I will not lie, she was not one of the nicest people on the internet. She was very blunt and straightforward, and she didn't like people a lot, and she was very quick to just kind of tell people off. And it's not that she doesn't have a great personality. I think she's just been hurt a little too much, and it's come down to the point that, like, she was not very nice to some of our mutuals. It made things really difficult, because one night this mutual had messaged me, and I'm a very, like, fight or flight, right? And most times, if someone is very aggressive to me, someone's really mean to me, I will run. I will run until I can get my thoughts together, until I'm not anxious, until I'm not panicking anymore, until I can think, right? I will run. And this person had messaged me this long-ass paragraph about how they're like, oh, I know you're a catfish. I know you did this. I know you're hurting my friends right now. And I just didn't know what to do. Especially since, like, the next day I have work early in the friggin' morning. I was like, you know what? This can wait. This can wait, because I don't need to reply right now. I don't need to. And the moment I woke up, of course, this, like, news goes out of control. It goes like a freaking wildfire, and I start losing all my friends in less than 24 hours. And honestly, I had two options. I could just take it and let people hate me, or I could tell the truth and let people know that, like, hey, I know who's behind the account. It's not me, but, like, I know what she did wasn't right, and it's not her, but, like, maybe I should have spoken up. Maybe, I don't know. But at the same time, who's really gonna believe that, right? And it got to the point that she was like, don't worry, I'll handle it. So I waited. I literally waited 3 days to let her say her piece, to let her say whatever. And she was all like, yeah, I'll handle it. She had a talk with the community that I was in, and I thought it was all figured out. And I was like, so what did you do? And she's like, don't worry, I handle it. Anyways, the community released the thing, and they basically doxed me. And they said, don't trust either people don't trust her, whatever. And I was just defeated. Honestly, I was just defeated. I didn't tell anyone my side of the story because it's like, you know, when people like sit there and they're just like, oh, we want to hear your side of the story, but they don't actually care. Like, that's exactly what it was. I was really mad. I was really mad at this person. And I didn't want anything to do with her. I wanted to cut ties with her. And she was just like, hey, I need to let you know one more thing. Like, I tried really hard to like save face and save you and your relationship with your friends. And I did this one thing. And basically, she had literally hired this person to go and talk to them. And I was like, how could you just go so far? Like, why couldn't you just say that there was something? Like, why couldn't you just tell them the truth, you know? And she was like, I don't know, like, I just couldn't do it. Like, I don't know what happened. I chickened out and I just wanted to save face. I just wanted to help you, right? And I was like, well, this didn't help at all. It didn't help anything. And honestly, I'm scared to tell this part of the story, like literally the part I just said, because I know people are going to sit there and judge me, right? But like, what was I supposed to do? Like, she was an IRL friend who really helped me all the time. And yeah, like, I don't agree with what she did, but it's also like, why am I throwing her under the bus? Right? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy. So yeah, that's how I lost all my friends. And that feeling of just wanting to disappear flooded back. And I just like, I don't know, I couldn't hold myself together. Work always like had to deal with me crying and like losing my marbles because it was just emotionally too much for me. And then one day I get this message from one of my friends and they go, hey, Dante's has a message for you. Basically, the message said, hey, like, I know things aren't great right now. I don't know what's going on, but like, everything will be okay. Things will get better. And I don't know. It's like everything I really, really needed to hear came from someone that I literally watch YouTube videos of. I know he knows because I told him a lot, but he basically saved my life because I held on to his words and I held on to the fact that things might be okay. And I knew that in order for me to get up and focus again and do things was to challenge myself and find something that would keep me focused and distracted. And, you know, Dante's, League of Legends, climbing to Masters, those sound like things that I could distract myself with. So I did three things. I made a Twitch account so that maybe if someone out there wants to watch me, I'll have a friend to talk to. I made a Twitter account to scream out my lungs and obviously say thank you to Dante's. And I made a new League account to climb unranked all the way to Masters. And I went on that grind. I literally used Twitter to scream to the void whenever I really, really needed a mental reset or that I just needed to throw my thoughts out from last game so I can keep climbing. I made a Twitch account because I wanted to show people that I could do it, and I also wanted to show myself that I could do it. And every time I had a mental breakdown, I would run to Dante's and talk about it, and he would give me like a little heart emoji, or he'll just tell me like, listen, you're making the right choice, or you're doing great. And he just like, he was basically my emotional support, which is kind of like really awkwardly parasocial because it's not like we're friends. People started following my Twitter account because of all my schizo tweeting, but I think they also wanted to watch me climb to Masters. But the thing that made me like blow up was the fact that I tweeted, and I quote, if Dante's gives me blessing, I will hit Masters, right? And literally like 6 hours later, he messages me and he's like, I can't remember the actual message, but it's something along the lines of, you got this. And I basically queued up and I ran. I ran for Masters so hard. And sooner, like not even hours later, I hit Masters for the first time of my life. Like, never hit Masters before. And I did it on an unranked account. And I was just so in awe. He was the first person. I literally ran to his DMs and I was like, Dante's, I hit Masters. And I even showed him the screenshot and he was all like, holy S word. Well, not swear on this podcast, sorry. But I even tweeted about it. I showed the tweet that like, if Dante's gave me a blessing, you know, and I also showed his tweet, his message of him blessing me. And then I showed my games and then I showed my Masters thing and he went and liked the post and it blew up. And all of a sudden I started getting a following. I was roughly like 100 followers, maybe more, and Miliana came over to me and she's like, "You're a Dante's fan. I'm a Dante's fan. Let's be friends," right? And so Miliana was actually the person who kind of like yoinked my arm and threw me straight into League Twitter, all because we were like Dante's fans. And I made a post, I remember, and I was like, "Hey, if I hit 200 followers, I'll make a random song about a random League Twitter," right? And at the time I hit 200, I made a song about Finny. And then I was like trying to be friends with Bone Void, and Miliana was like, "Hey, I can get you to be friends with Bone Void." And then I made a post and I was just like, "Hey, if I get to 300 followers, I'll make a song about Bone Void. By the way, both songs are on my YouTube." Anyways, after that, he started tweeting that, and then we started talking, and I hit 300 followers, so I made a song about Bone Void, which ended up kind of getting a little bit of hate, because at the time, Bone Void was also getting hate about something else, so I'm not going to bring that up, but he was also getting hate over something, and that was my cue to be like, I need to, like, mute this conversation and turn off notice for people I don't follow, so it doesn't, like, hurt my, or, like, bruise my ego or make me, like, feel sensitive over the case, right? That's when I started doing that. And then I was like, if I hit 400 followers, I'll make Bone Void do a song with me. And he was all like, "Nah, this is not gonna happen." Anyways, shout out to Bone Void because he literally made the song with me and it's really cute and adorable. Also on my YouTube. And after that, I don't know, I just started blowing up. I started talking to people on League Twitter. I started hanging out with people on League Twitter. I just at somehow some point hit where I hit, and this is literally how I ended up on League Twitter. I know people are gonna be super judgmental about things that I've said if they listen to like all of this from this far, and honestly I will not blame anyone if anybody wants to not be friends with me anymore. Like, I get it, it's a lot, and you know what, I will never blame anyone for not wanting to be a part of my life. But yeah, I think the three musketeers in my life on League Twitter, and actually it's almost about to be a year since we've been friends, but Miliana, Finny, and Bone Void were one of my very first friends on League Twitter, and then eventually it just grew much bigger. Obviously now I have a League Twitter family. If you've seen the Mr. Tree and Might Lose, and there's probably other people I want to add in the family, but I just don't know yet. I mean, Cascopium, my wifey. Yams and Nicole has been my husband for literally years. I want to say maybe like 10 years now. I don't know, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. 9 years. 9 years. Okay, my bad. I'm very picky with people on League Twitter, like who I talk to and who I interact with. Obviously, I want to be nice to everybody. Like, the whole point, I know, like, yes, I have a following and whatever, but the whole point for me is to pay it forward, because I spend way too much time hating myself, and I try really hard not to do that. I try really hard not to hate myself as much, and I try to pay it forward by being nice to people, by trying to do like fix my wrongs, by like taking care of those who need help and doing what I can to make sure that people are okay, and like just being a safe space. Like, I know sometimes I'm really silly because I post like Delulu posts, Kitsu posts, and sometimes like H tweets and stuff like that. But, like, I never once took Twitter seriously. Not once. Because I know that after what had happened to me last year, I know, like, people can do and say whatever, no matter what you want to do with your life. People are going to dislike you for one reason or another. They're going to judge you for one reason or another. So I'm just going to be myself. You don't like it? That's fine by me. You don't have to interact with me. I'm going to address, like, a couple of things. I know there's people out there who say I'm a social climber and whatever, whatever. But it's just such a silly, like, accusation to have, because one, I barely talk to people to begin with, and two, like, the things I tweet is just mindless stuff I have in my mind. Like, I get not everyone vibes with that, I get not everybody cares about those things, but it's like, it's my Twitter, I get to tweet what I want because it's my Twitter. And honestly, like, I think people just take Twitter way too seriously. Like, there's people out here who say things like, "Oh, you need to get a job, oh, you need to stop being chronically online, oh, you need to whatever, whatever." Like, do you really think, like, people sit on here, refresh Twitter, and they're like, "What are the little trolls going to say about me today?" Like, I come over, I tweet, I leave. I come over, check notice, I leave. I'll play video games, I'll do what I gotta do, whether that's graphic designing, drawing, watching a TV show, hanging out with friends if I can. Like, I will just mind my own business and leave, because honestly, Twitter is such a negative headspace to be in all the time. Like, unless you're making money from it, unless you're, like, doing your thing, like, I don't really see any reason for anyone to be on Twitter all the time. Like, when I started realizing I was going to get a following, I knew that I wanted to be someone big so that way I can influence people to just enjoy life, like, enjoy being yourself. Like, if I can inspire you to be who you want to be, whoever it is you want to be, then I'm doing my job. If I can inspire people by relating to my music, if I can inspire people by entertaining them with, like, gameplay or just being silly on the internet, like, why not, right? Like, I want to be a good influence to people. I know not everyone really cares about that, and I'm pretty sure there's a handful of people who are just like, F that Koi person, she's disgusting. But I'm not gonna let that stuff stop me. I'm not gonna let that stuff hold me back. I'm not gonna let, you know, not having millions and millions of followers going to stop me from doing what it is that I want to do, what my message is, right? And that's just enjoying being who you are and learning to get over those mental stumps and, like, chaotic events that happen in your life. I know there's just, like, a handful of people out there who are super sad and just, like, they hate life and they don't enjoy what they're doing and whatever. And it's like, bro, me too, bro. Like, my life isn't together. I'm in my friggin' 20s and I have no idea what the heck I'm doing with my life. All I know is that I'm trying and I'm going and I'm gonna keep going and I'm gonna do what I have to do to get there. But I'm not gonna let that hold that against me. Like, yeah, some days I'll have that mental stump of like, damn, I'm such a failure. Like, damn, why is my life not like where I want it to be? Like, how am I this far into life and I'm not like a friggin' house owner with a beautiful family and traveling around the world? Like, that's so unrealistic. Like, let's just be so for real right now. I'm not gonna let someone on the internet tell me how to live my life or like hate me, whatever, hurt me, whatever, because like, realistically, I can do that myself. I can hurt myself. I can hate myself. I probably do that 10 times better than any hater on the internet could. And honestly, I'm tired. Like, I'm tired of having to hide all of these events, not being able to share things because I'm too scared of what people say and what people think. Who cares? Who cares what people say and what people think? Yeah, I just shared a lot of information with you guys. Anyone who's listening to this podcast could use it against me, obviously. But am I gonna actually let that stop me from doing what I love, from sharing myself with the people who actually care about me, from doing things that make me feel better on a day-to-day basis? Heck no. And if I can encourage the people who are listening to this podcast, if I can encourage any single one of you to just stand up, be brave, open up, talk to me, talk to anyone, like, I'm doing my job. If you're just like, damn, Koi can be this vulnerable, so can I. If you can just be like, dang, she's been through all of this and she's still going, I can too. I might not have all the right answers, and yes, there's gonna be a ton of me making mistakes in these podcasts. Maybe even I'll say one thing and then like millions of podcasts later, I'll be like, I was actually wrong in that podcast earlier, and this is the more valuable, more realistic take. That might happen because I am human and I am learning along the way and I'm learning with you guys. It's not like I'm this magical being who has it all figured out. And as someone who just has a struggle, like, I struggle puff trying to talk to people, being able to talk to you, being able to build these podcasts, being able to share my secrets and my moments with you, like, I'm hoping that it's going to teach me to be more open with people and to just not care, like, don't care about anything, you know? Like, I want to be the strongest version of myself. I want to be the Gojo of my life, you know? Like, I want to be that. If there's anything I can teach people, especially on lead Twitter, it's one, don't compare yourself to other people. Never compare yourself to other people. I know it's really hard because a lot of people on Twitter are much younger and they're in that phase of like, I want to be this. I want that kind of attention. I want to look like that. I want to be like that. And like, it's really hard not to compare yourself. I still do it till this day. Honestly, I can't blame you. But if you could try, if you could learn not to compare yourself, to realize that you have your own strengths, to realize that you build and you bring something else to the table that other people can't. I hope that is the one thing that you learn from me, because if you think about it, no matter what, even if you feel like you're not enough, even if you feel like you don't belong, every place, no matter where you go, has a system. And that system isn't ran by one person, it's always run by a group of people. And in that group of people, you have something to bring. You have something to offer. And you may not know what that is now, and you might not know for a very long time, but I promise you, you will find something that you're good at, something that you love, and something that other people will appreciate that you can do. Anyways, I hope you guys appreciate what I've shared today. I've literally never shared these things with people for a very long time because I'm too scared to relive the past. I'm too scared of what people will think. I'm too scared that you as a listener will stop supporting me because of whatever you hear. And honestly, I just want people who understand me. I just want people who get who I am. I just want people to know that I'm also a person too, and I'm trying to forgive myself just as much as any other person out there. Thank you for joining me on this first episode of Diving Into the Deep End. And if you like it, do give me some insight. Give me some feedback. Give me a comment or something. I don't know. I don't know how this stuff works. But make sure you just let me know. And I'll just keep making episodes as long as you guys enjoy hearing them. See you later, chat.